Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Rocket in Studio 3 this morning. Bad to the bone is right. Welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm your host, JT, along with Court Hitman Johnson. We've got some very special guests. You just heard them, as a matter of fact. They just got off the air, you might say, and walked over here in a figurative way to join us. We've got the boys from around the house. Handy Bob. That's what I call him. He really goes by Handyman Bob, but I call him Handy Bob. And Eric G. Welcome to the show, guys.
I'm short enough. You don't need to shorten it any more than that.
Thanks for having us.
Not a problem. You know, I've gotten a lot of emails since I started this show. And we've talked about all aspects of barbecue and outdoor cooking, of course. But there are some folks that like to build their own stuff, as good, you guys know from your show.
Yeah.
You know, and people are do-it-yourselfers, so to speak. So I thought we'd talk today a little bit about building your own barbecue or smoker in the back if you are so inclined.
Nice.
How about that?
Love
it. You like that? You've done that?
Yeah, I've done it.
Well, share.
Well, you know, it's and it's depending on what you're trying to do, you know, when you're out there looking at your backyard, it's like, okay, where am I going to put this thing? Is it going to be in the middle of where the kids are going to play? Mm-hmm. You kind of have to start out with finding the right location.
Someplace that your wife will accept.
Yeah, that's another part of it, you know?
Big part.
Yeah, that's a big part. You know, where is it going to, you know, how is it going to affect your house? How is it going to affect your neighbors? You know, you don't mm-hmm. want to smoke the neighbors out too badly as well. But I've done the fire pits in the backyard, and there's things that you always, you know, elevation is one of the things I look at. Mm-hmm. Am I going to dig it in and make it low? Am I going to put it up above so it's, you know, drains a little easier, especially here in the Northwest, on the west side of the state where it really tends to,
sure.
You know, you can create a pond if you don't plan it correctly.
Right. At our ranch, when I first, years and years ago, got into doing television, I built a set. And I've talked a little bit about this on the show, but down by the creek, or creek, if you want to call it that, we had a cabin, and I'd run water and electricity down there, and I built a slab. It was a 10x12 slab, and I actually built this, and we put some rebar in it, and I used cinder blocks, and I used cinder blocks, sand and some gravel, and of course the rebar was set in the concrete like that, and I made it. There was 8 grilling bays, and it was set in a U.
Oh, cool.
And the last one on, I guess it would be my right, camera left, was for gas.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of built a little platform in there out of steel and punched a hole in it so the tank could sit underneath it, and then the gas grill sat below the grill level of the charcoal ones like
cool.
that. But that was really easy. But the drainage was important, and that's why I filled it with a lot of sand and rocks.
Yeah.
And we actually punched a couple holes in some of those cinder blocks so they would drain out.
Yeah.
Especially in the wintertime
yeah.
when you weren't using
it. You don't
air.
Want them to freeze and explode.
No. Yeah. No, that's bad.
And that's the thing. It's depending on it and what you're trying to use it. Is this going to be a cooking appliance, or is this going to be your fire pit that you want to maybe cook something on from time to time?
Right.
You know, so there's different kind of ways to approach that.
And you already mentioned the fact that you've got a couple of different cooking sources, potentially, mm-hmm. either a gas grill, and you can pick up burners very readily,
oh, sure.
so you can build a gas grill, or a live open fire using wood, or charcoal briquette, or lump charcoal. So you kind of have to decide what your cooking element is going to be, too, what your cooking fuel is going to be.
Right. I made that about... that was about 2 feet deep
nice.
On some of them, and then some of them had more rock and sand in it, and that was more for the
the lump charcoal are actually briquettes, depending on what I wanted, because we were kind of demonstrating different sources, different heat sources like that.
Yeah.
So you could adjust that. And the cool thing about that is after the winter, you came back. It didn't take much more than a wheelbarrow full of sand in the spring to level everything out again. And
rebuild what you had.
Rebuild what you had, because the cinder blocks and the concrete and that. And I also built one that was off camera that we used it as a warming oven, if you will.
Oh, cool.
That we just, it wasn't very deep. It was a little more shallow, but we could just keep a really low, low fire there. And because as you know, in TV production, you start, you know, before, middle, after, finished, you know, so you've got three or four things to shoot when you're doing this.
Absolutely.
And so we could keep a little warming rack over there for everybody. And it was still, it wasn't propane. It was still, you know, a natural fire source, if you will.
Throw some coals on it and just keep it warm.
Yeah, just keep it warm. Because when we were done shooting, the crew cleaned you out of food, whatever you cooked anyway. You know, I mean,
that's amazing how a production crew can go after food.
Yeah, you could have 50 pounds of steaks there and they're like, whoosh, gone.
Yeah.
You know, no Ziplocs to go, nothing. I mean, it was, you know, it was just pretty amazing. And if we had people there, if we were shooting a commercial or something, there was absolutely nothing left. I mean, we just kind of took some dirty dishes up to the house and ran them through the dishwasher, and that was the end of the deal.
No kidding.
Yeah, we didn't have much to clean up.
I'm curious, what did you use for a cooking grate?
Oh, well, I've talked about this before. I found a piece of stainless steel catwalk that rolled up that had come out of some, you know, hypersensitive secret government installation or something. And it was about 8 feet long. And so I actually built the front one, the front grill, to fit that. And you could, I still have it. And you just set it on there and you would just roll it out. And when you were done, you could pressure wash it off, roll it up because it didn't rust, stick it in the corner, and you were done.
So you just hit the magic right there. You have to decide what size your grill is or what size your box is going to be based on what size grill you're going to put on top of it, what size grate you have.
Yeah.
And I think that's the starting point for folks is if they want to start with a round one, like maybe a Weber replacement grate, those are about 22 inches diameter, or the Weber rectangular ones, and those things run about 22 by I think a foot and a half, something like that.
Right.
So that's your starting point, and that's how I'll get it out yet. That's how big you're going to build your box. I'll work on that.
Yep.
It's easy for you to say. Can I borrow a tongue out of your shoe?
Sure, here, right there. Okay. It's fresh, too. It's a Reebok.
There you go.
Anyway, it just worked out really well to do that. And then on the other grills, I went and had some kind of diamond mesh stainless steel cut. The problem with that was it wasn't a heavy enough grade, because when you would get it too hot, it would warp.
Oh, start to sag down.
It would sag, and then once it cooled off, it'd come right back.
Yeah.
But I never liked it as much, so we kind of used that on the warming parts.
Oh, yeah, that
makes
sense.
Cooking on a trampoline.
Yeah, well, up and down like that. It was pretty tough, but it looked good.
On
camera, it looked good.
I bet it looked great.
But only after we were something that we would stick on there that we had finished cooking and stuck it over there so they really couldn't see the warps on it.
One little thing you can do to kind of help that is you can go out and get some like all thread or something and span it across there from front to back underneath that.
You could.
In a couple spots and might hide away underneath that anyway.
But, yeah, that sounds like work, though, Eric.
It does.
It's kind of work. You need to go find. And you know where I found that catwalk grate was at a the metal recycling place over in Clackamas.
Oh, cool.
I don't remember what the name. It's over on Evelyn Street. I don't remember the name of the company, but they have that. If you can go to one of those metal recyclers, you can probably find something like that.
Yeah. I growing up in Eastern Washington, I used to go out to those in the Tri-City, so I would go out to the Hanford auctions all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And the cool thing was is that if you get the right piece, it would actually cook the meat by itself.
And it would glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark.
You can find your way home from school after basketball practice.
Absolutely.
You guys don't walk near a Geiger counter, though.
Nope.
No, don't go through the airport.
Nope.
No. Glow in the dark TSA agents there.
You got it.
Anyway. So really quick, people can see you guys. They're going to be back. They're staying the whole hour for the show, but they can see you guys also out at the Winco this weekend.
Yeah, we'll be out here.
You're going to be marshals.
Absolutely going to be marshals. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty
cool. Looking forward to it.
We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation and be back with the boys from just a previous show. How about that? Around the House, Eric G and Handyman Bob, right here on Barbecue Nation. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a minute.
Always a crazy one. Broke into the stadium and I wrote your number on the 50-yard line. You were always a perfect one and a valedictorian. So under your number I wrote.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Yep. Is it? Okay. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. It's a good day. I've got the boys from around the house here with me. These guys are so nice to me. You know, they let me phone in, or if I'm in Portland, come in and be on their show to always, you know, promo what's on this show. So I thought I'd do a little reciprocation here.
Well, thank
you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Also want to say hi really quick to a couple of our affiliates here. KMED down in Medford and I'm as bad as you are, Bob.
KACI. My shoe.
Jeez. Okay, people in the Dalles, you know you're listening on KACI. Talk about remedial radio. There you go. And if you'd like to email us, it's barbecuenation@kxl.com or recipes@kxl.com. You can do that and... we'll get back to you. You like the music on our show?
I love the music. Yeah,
our music
right down my alley.
Yeah, Court's like a music maestro over
nice.
There. You know, he's doing a great job on Kink.
He is doing a fantastic job. In fact, I was in the dental chair earlier this week and had my teeth cleaned, and I asked the young lady who was doing the teeth cleaning, because she had Kink on. I said, "So, do you like the new sound of Kink?" And she said, "You mean that new morning guy? I love it." How about that, Court Johnson?
See that? There you go.
See that? Manifest destiny. There you go. All right, back to building barbecues.
Yeah.
I was cruising around on the web, and as I know you guys were, because I asked you to do it before you came to the show, and some of these things get pretty intrinsic, building these things. You know, when I built my very first one, I cut a 50-gallon barrel in half, then a guy welded a couple of braces in the middle for me to hold the grate up, and that was it. We made a little rack. I can't weld, so he built a little stanchion for me, punched some holes in the bottom so it would definitely fall out on the ground and burn my grass.
Yeah.
And then that was it. That was like my first barbecue I ever made.
I'm building one with a buddy right now. He's living in the Tri-Cities, and so I've been doing it over the phone, but he's got 3 food-grade barrels.
Yeah.
That are stainless, and he's been building it out of that.
That's a lot of pigs.
It's a lot of pigs, but it's... Yeah. He likes to do cook, you know, barbecuing for friends and everything else.
Sure.
So he gets a group going, and it, you know, it gives him a lot of cooking area.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's the thing. When people get into barbecuing or grilling or smoking or whatever you want to call it, because they're all a little different, but we're all in the same genre there, all of a sudden you've got a lot of friends. If you're any good at it whatsoever, you've got a lot of friends. You'll know you're no good at it if you have like 2 parties in a row, and then the third one, you're inviting people and they start giving excuses why they can't come. You need to work on your skills.
Yep.
Really.
Either that or, you know, in the first segment, Eric was talking about the proximity and where are you going to put this thing? And I kept thinking, now, wait a minute, when's he going to bring up, it's got to be close to the beer cooler?
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Which came first, the beer cooler or the grill? You know, it's like the chicken and the egg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd agree.
Got to have them both.
Yeah.
And if you don't keep that stocked, your friends will go elsewhere too.
Yeah, they will. But I was just thinking, and when you're doing all this heavy lifting labor, building a smoker or a grill in your backyard, you got to have the beer.
Yeah.
Or you know, but if you have too much of the beer, it's going to be a three-week project.
or it affects the quality of the block work you're doing.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons maybe to just dry stack the rock or the cinder block instead of trying to use mortar.
You don't think they're supposed to be perpendicular?
Yeah. Well, relatively. Yeah. Square, what's square?
Well, you know, that does bring up another interesting issue, too, is if you're going to build something, don't build it permanent until you've tested it.
Right.
Dry stack it. Dry stack the cinder block or dry stack manor stone. Because I knew we were going to come into the studio with you, I went out and I priced some of these things. And cinder blocks, my gosh, you can get them anywhere from $1 to $1.50 a piece. So you can build many different iterations of it.
Sure.
For pennies, really. It's not an expensive venture. Probably, you get a $40 grate and you got maybe $50 worth of stone in it, and you build it up, you test it a couple of times, you say, no, I need the fire higher or fire lower, or I need to make it taller.
Yeah.
So that
I was going to say,
I'm not 2 feet off the ground.
If you're vertically impaired, you might not want it for the. I'm sorry.
That's all right. See, you were talking about that one that you had built, and I thought, gosh, that would have been just absolutely perfect. But when you're 6'2 like you, no, you got to have a couple more layers up there so you're not breaking your back cooking.
Yeah. When we did this stack thing, we didn't try it as far as cooking with it, but we actually stacked them to where I knew where I wanted it for. A TV counter. You guys are contractors. You know, what's the standard, 33 and a third or something?
36 is a standard kitchen countertop.
Okay, but for a guy that's tall like me?
You want it higher.
You want it higher, especially when you're doing that, because you're always going to be slumped over. And if you're doing it on camera, which most people won't, but if they are, that's bad because you're supposed to look at the camera and say, I'm chopping my celery this way. You know, but when you've got to bend over to do it,
it's tough. Somebody your size, you'd want to be, 39 inches or so up there at least, so you can not be hunched over.
And that's why we built it that tall. So that's one of the things I would say. If you're going to build that in your backyard or wherever you're going to build it, make it comfortable for you.
Yeah. That's the great thing with that is you're building a custom anyway. So build it the way you want it.
Right.
Plan for it. Think about how you're going to clean it afterwards. So you're building it out of cinder block. You're going to put a stacked stone on the outside, like the El Dorado stone, and make it look like something really, stunning on the outside. There's things you can do with that to make that thing look absolutely spectacular.
Absolutely. Now, we didn't do that on the one that I built because it was more of a country backyard, more rustic, rough setting. But I have seen them where people have done that, put river rock or whatever on the outside, and they look fabulous.
Oh, you can make an absolute, it can be the feature in your backyard.
Depending on the style, you can put, corrugated metal on the side of that thing and make it look like it's industrial. I mean, there's so many things you can do with that.
Oh, yeah. It's just really cool. We're going to have to take another break here on Barbecue Nation, but we're going to be back with the boys from around the house and talk about, we're going to talk about a lot of things in these next two segments. You won't want to miss it.
That I'd rather be. Where else can you do a half a million things all at a quarter to three? When they play their music, ooh, that modern music, they back it with a lot of style, but it's still that same old backbeat rhythm that really, really drives them wild. They say the heart.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT. On a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I've got the guys from around the house, Eric G. and Handyman Bob.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, I won't say what I usually call you when we're talking on the phone.
Not fitting for radio.
Well, it depends on which radio, but not this one. Not this one. I saw something yesterday. I was surfing around like I do and prepping for the show, and in the Business Insider, there's a story here, 9 Ways You're Cooking Your Steak Wrong. According to the chef of Wall Street's oldest steakhouse, and the guy's name is Billy Oliva, and he looks like he's about 12.
Oh, my gosh.
And like you said, Eric, I don't think he's ever gone outside.
He's, no.
No, he's pale.
He's as pale as the paper.
Yeah.
Transfusion
so,
time.
So anyway, before we get your guys to the lightning round here and that, I want to tell some of our listeners some of these. He says, don't cook a steak that's fresh from the fridge. So you want it sitting out for 2 or 3 days.
The flies make it taste better.
Is that countertop aged? Is that what that is?
Yeah, countertop aged. You know, he says about an hour, I guess, 45 minutes, something like that. Room temperature.
There you go.
No.
Don't put a piece of steak in the pan or on a grill that isn't screaming hot.
Yep.
Okay.
He believes in searing it first.
Searing it first. Okay. Yep. Don't be afraid to douse the steak with seasoning. Now, what they use is they use some kosher salt, and they use a fresh ground pepper mix that has like 7 different types of peppers in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Kind of a salt and pepper guy, so that,
yeah,
that works.
Don't leave the steak on an open flame for too long. Well, that kind of goes without really saying. But, yeah.
Not unless you want charcoal to cook your next fire with.
Right.
Playing hockey with it afterwards.
Don't poke the steak with a fork to see if it's done or not.
True.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Let everything out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. It leaks. Don't flip the steak more than once. Now, I will say I have done that because if you get a really, if you're doing a filet or something or a really thick ribeye and there's part of it, especially on a grill, that it's not, you've got a cold spot or a hot spot on your grill, it, you know, and to be honest with you, when I serve those, I usually take that one because the grill marks don't match up.
Yep.
But I'm not opposed to that if you're trying to fix a little problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than bringing out the blowtorch. So don't press down on the meat.
It'll bleed.
Yep.
It'll bleed it like that. Don't serve a steak fresh from the pan or the grill.
Let it rest.
Let it rest. Yep. And don't forget to reseason the steak before serving. Now, I do have a little problem.
Reseason the steak?
Yeah, because what they do here is they cook it, they let it rest, and before they send it out to the customer, they put a little more salt and pepper on it. Now, I was always taught that when you cook something, you season it, you know, as you're cooking it or prior to, and that actually will help, you know, ingratiate the whatever it is you're cooking, say a steak, and the seasoning together. Yeah. Any seasoning is just going to be on top after you've cooked something. You know, that's why I always see people when they're out there just dousing something with salt and pepper after it's
probably cooked. Before they even taste it.
Yeah. That really irritates the hell out of me.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go anywhere. It's just sitting there. Yeah. So that one, you know, I don't know.
Unless he's just doing it for presentation's sake.
But, you know, you want a half inch kosher salt on the top of it.
No, especially when it's been cooked in kosher salt.
It's that pink pepper. That's what
pink,
it is.
Is that what it is?
Pepper. Those pink peppercorns.
Okay. I have Himalayan rock salt that I use all the time.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Kosher salt type thing.
I love the bourbon barrel smoke pepper.
That's what you said. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. From Savory Spice Shop?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's
what he needs
bourbon
on there.
That's what he needs on there. We'll send him some.
Absolutely.
Maybe he'll go outside to get the mail.
Yeah.
Get some sun.
He needs it.
So everybody's got, you know, you've heard about this, you know, the palm test. If you poke your steak with your finger, it should feel like the meaty part of your palm, and that means it's medium rare or whatever. So now they've got one about your face. Okay. For medium well, it should feel like your forehead.
Really?
Yeah. That may be a little too, I don't know.
I was going to say.
My forehead's pretty dense.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
That sounds well done.
If you
to
want
me.
A medium, just a medium steak, your chin. So what if you got beards?
Beard, like that's going to say. I got my beard.
You got a hairy steak.
Yeah, that's a hairy steak. That's not going to work so well.
And if you want your steak rare, it should feel like your cheek.
Okay.
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 I like the old palm test.
Yeah, I like the palm test too.
Let's keep it simple.
All right. So, lightning round for you two.
Uh-oh.
We'll start with Handy.
Uh-oh.
Okay. What's your favorite cut of meat?
Ribeye.
Okay. Eric, what's the optimum time for aging a piece of meat?
You know, I like going to the big steakhouses where they've had it for 20 plus days.
Right.
That's my favorite.
One of our guests, Jesse Henry, who's a competitive griller and, you know, like that, he likes his 30 days. So just tell you, that brisket I brought you is 30 days.
Well, I'll tell you what, the fiber will be broken down in that one then.
There you go. What's your favorite heat source?
I like charcoal.
You like charcoal, Eric?
I'm a charcoal guy.
Okay, do you marinate?
Depending on the cut of meat.
Yeah, Bob?
If it's a lesser cut of meat, I'll marinate. I try not to.
Okay, yeah. With or without booze?
With booze. Okay. And I'll even put it on my food.
Well, yeah, once in a while in the recipe. Yeah.
Some guys use Tabasco. He uses Jack Daniel's.
There you go.
I'm more of a Buffalo Trace guy, but
there
yeah.
you go. anything you can or can't cook besides Jell-O or grill, I mean?
You could grill Jell-O, but I don't want to catch it on fire because you usually have some kind of alcohol in the Jell-O.
Yeah, wine.
Yep.
I do.
I don't think there's anything that I won't put on a grill.
Okay. No. Shoes? You can do shoes?
Well, the tongue.
Is there one thing you wish you'd never eaten?
Ooh. For me, I hate overcooked steaks.
Okay.
I didn't eat it. It was overcooked.
Yeah, exactly.
Just no. No, I love food.
No, actually, yeah, I was on a trip down in El Salvador, and we worked down in the jungle, and they served us last night's table scraps the next morning, and it had been unrefrigerated chicken and stuff, so that was probably the worst thing that I've eaten that I wish I hadn't eaten.
Like the Batmobile leaving the Batcave, buddy.
Yep. Just,
bad deal.
Bad deal.
If you were given a choice to have somebody cook for you, and not me, who would you like to cook for you one meal?
Ooh. I'd probably go trendy and say like Bobby Flay.
Okay.
I think Mario Batali.
There you go. Mine still be the Galloping Gourmet. Boxers or briefs, Bob?
Boxers always.
There you go.
Neither.
Commando?
Commando.
Hey! I wonder how you get your health safety card with Commando on the bottom. It's got a little box check. Food handler's card, Commando. Yes, okay.
Oh, wait a minute. What are you handling the food with?
Yeah. But your best advice for, you can either use backyard grillers or backyard construction. Your choice.
Backyard grillers.
Okay.
Best advice, watch your temperature.
There you go. Bob?
Yeah, that is it. Do it the same way every time once you get a recipe you like, and watch that temperature so close.
There you go. That's our lightning round here with the boys from the hour before. They always drag me over, so I'm going to drag them back, and we're going to do that reciprocal stuff here. Yeah, we'll take that. So back to building grills and smokers in your backyard. You can use regular bricks, too, mm-hmm. if you want. But I'm a favorite of the cinder blocks.
I like the cinder block. I'll tell you one of the challenges you have with regular brick is that over the course of the winter, it absorbs an awful lot of moisture. And mm-hmm. you start building that real hot fire in it, they're liable to let go. They like to pop.
That and most people don't have the skill set to really build an effective brick wall with small bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Where cinder blocks, you've got a larger surface that you're working with, and it's a lot more forgiving for your typical homeowner DIY guy.
There you go. There you go. Would you, like I did, like I told you, would you use rebar in it?
Absolutely. I would.
Yeah.
Something to support it, sure.
Yeah.
Let those cinder block hang on.
Because that's why I built a slab.
Yeah.
To do that. I know a lot of people that, I was looking at the stuff last night, and a lot of people were just, dig a hole in the ground or put some gravel down. There's also the thing of cleanup because you have a lot of spillage.
Yep.
You do if you're a sauce guy and you're going to be slopping sauce or you're going to drop seasoning or, whatever. It's just going to happen. And with a slab, you can clean that off, hose it off.
If you've got a slab, you got to make sure you got good drainage. If you're not going to use a slab, you got to make sure you dig a pretty deep hole, put some sand and then some gravel on top of it so that you've got good drainage there too.
Well, that's what we're going to put some sand and gravel on this segment, and we're going to be back with more with the guys from around the house here on Barbecue Nation on the Radio Northwest Network.
Full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Hey, it's Barbecue Nation here on KXL in beautiful downtown Portland and the Radio Northwest Network. I've got Eric G. and Handyman Bob. See, I didn't call you Handy Bob.
I appreciate that.
Handyman Bob here with us today, and we've been talking among other subject matters about building grills and that. And you were saying when we were at break that you could get a circular grill that the grate spins off.
Yeah, you can jump on Amazon, for instance, and they've got a 36-inch round steel, circular metal, iron ring, basically, that's mm-hmm. probably 10 inches high, and it's got a little bit of a radius on the top, and it's got a post that comes out of it, and it's got a nice grill grate that swivels over the fire
right.
and just spins off and on it, and it's, $170. Free shipping if you're a Prime member.
Sure.
Shows up and you can dig a hole in your backyard and, put something out there and, of course, build some drainage or something like that for it and set it down on some gravel and some stone and some sand and keep it dry over the wintertime and have a great little system. And you can have fires in the backyard. If you want to throw a couple steaks or burgers on it, you can do it and cook over some real wood and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's kind of a really cool way to do it, actually.
If you're
going to do it kind of on an industrial strength thing like mm-hmm. like I do,
yeah,
but for different reasons, then go that way. But if it's one or two or three of you in the household, that's a great idea.
Well, I think one of the things that Eric brings up is that makes it multi-purpose. You can have a fire pit so you can just sit around in your easy chairs.
Do your s'mores or whatever.
Exactly, and, right. Or do a hot dog over the wood. But if you want to do some serious cooking, you've got the grid that swings over it.
Yeah.
And now you can actually cook a nice steak or some vegetables or whatever you want to do.
It's the same theory as growing up, and I think I've said this before on the show, we had three fireplaces in the ranch house.
Nice.
And when the power would go out, which it did, it's not if, it was when.
Of course.
Every winter, and sometimes up to 2 weeks.
Yep.
So we had an arm put in the fireplace,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
my mom would make this stew in a Dutch oven.
Nice.
In the fireplace and stuff, and we had lots of Dutch ovens, and so she could bake bread in one and all that. You never know how good just old beef stew tasted until you really hadn't had anything. And then as I got older, we put a barbecue under the patio.
Nice.
Out there, and then I could cook real food on baked potatoes and do all that stuff in it. So
eat well,
even when you can't do anything,
Yeah. Well, go back 200 years.
Predating
electric heat and gas heat and that sort of thing. How did they cook? They cooked in a fireplace.
Yep.
All you did was recreate that. And they lived good and they ate good.
They lived well, actually.
Yeah.
They didn't quite have as many of the problems we have today. Different subject, but health problems and things.
Exactly.
Because they, fresh meats, fresh vegetables, cooked properly.
Read something the other day. Don't eat anything your great-great-grandmother wouldn't recognize coming out of the garden.
There you go.
There you go. Nice.
Speaking of that, I got a turnip that's about that big. Anyway, the
turnip that ate the yard.
The turnip that ate the yard. I think one of the most important things in this whole discussion we've had about building barbecues, you can get online and you can see all kinds of different
YouTube videos.
Yeah,
there's tons of information.
There's tons of information.
It's a great starting point.
Yeah.
And then what you have to do is just let your own memory or your own imagination take over and build it for you and for your family and for your friends and your lifestyle.
And plan for everything. Plan where the grate goes. Plan how it's going to be covered. Plan if it is. All of those details, because they all matter.
A couple of things as a cook. Try not to get it too far away from one where you could get under some cover if it rains.
Yep.
Or too far away from the kitchen or the patio where you might be serving this food.
Mm-hmm.
It might look great in the far back corner of your yard, but if it's more than 20 steps away, you're gonna have problems.
And you'll never use it.
And you'll never use it.
Right.
Exactly. So don't go to all that trouble not to use it.
And if you're doing it down on the ground using that ring, make sure you don't have roots and things underneath there and get a root fire going. Burn the neighborhood down with your backyard fire grill.
Yeah, about a week later, you see your fir tree explode.
Correct.
And it's not even the 4th of July, my God.
No kidding.
Yes. Well, Eric G., Handy Bob, thanks for being on Barbecue Nation.
It's been a hoot.
It's been good. Like I said.
And I'll tell you what, I love Court's music.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Hitman, he's great.
He's hot. He's hot. every Saturday, 12 to 2. It's Around the House with these two characters.
Yeah.
And enjoy that show. And then just hang around and stick in with us here at Barbecue Nation. There, we've got your whole Saturday afternoon planned. Then you go out and barbecue.
There you go.
That?
It's been fun. Thanks.
It's been fun.
Thank you.
Hey, Barbecue Nation, we'll be back next week with another special guest. I can't tell you who it is yet because I can't pronounce her name. But anyway, Courtney, I'll be back next week. Take care, everybody.